In the name of Lord Jesus, I speak.
Thank God this is my last session. I'm so happy. I'm joking. Okay, I'll tell you what, yeah? I'm going to repeat some of the key points that we talked about yesterday, especially some of the questions which have been raised this afternoon, during the, when you people were doing the practical. Okay. Now, I think I got a few more questions that I want to share with you, okay, and ask you to help you to answer them. I think there are some basic concepts in the scriptures that, again, we need to know them very well in order to defend our faith. Okay, because God is a spirit, yeah, God is spirit, sometimes it's very difficult for us to explain or to describe his dwelling with us, okay? Or,
okay, let me see, my tongue start to slur. Okay. Alright, that's why you need to look at the scriptures very carefully and see what the Bible says about the dwelling of God, especially when he said he dwells with us. Now, we know that one of the divine attributes of God is that he is everywhere. Alright? Now, being everywhere does not mean that he has chosen to be in the hearts of everyone. You understand what I'm saying? If that is the case, then the most wicked person also has the presence of the Spirit in the heart. Right? So, that's why when you look at the Bible, you find that, like, the passage I've shown you in Psalms 132, okay? He desired to, what? To live in? To dwell in? Zion. You get what I'm saying? It's like his personal choice. Right? He wants to be there. Okay, now it's very different from his being everywhere. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so from here we can see there is a distinction between the two. Right? Now, likewise, we have been baptized into Christ, and we know that now we are in Christ, we are being covered by the blood of Jesus, now we are in his body. Obviously, we are in the Spirit, but it does not mean that what? The Spirit is in us. Okay? These are two separate, if I can use the word, occurrences. Now, I want to show you some verses. Please turn to John. We turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We read verse 20, okay? Verse 20. Now, at that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, you in me, meaning the apostle, or you can look at it in this way, it's like individual apostle will be in Jesus, okay? Now, how can a person be in Christ? Now, we know that this is only made possible, what? Through baptism. Is that so? Okay? Now, that's the first stage. And the second is, I in you. Right? Now, so, being in Jesus is not equal to Jesus being in you. You get the point now? Right? That's why even after we have been incorporated, we say, and joined into the body of Christ, we still need to pray for the what? The infilling of the Spirit or the dwelling of the Spirit in our hearts. Okay? This is what the church has been teaching all along. Okay? Is that clear?
Yep.
Alright, now, I want to show you a few more verses. That's why these are the very important verses that you need to grasp. Okay, we turn to 1 John. Actually, I don't promote myself, but anyway, this time I think I have to break my own rules. I have written a book on the Holy Spirit, okay, especially dealing with this kind of question, that if you are very keen to know, then I can send e-copy to you. If you're not happy with it, then you can just delete it, okay? Simple as that. Right? Now, so if you want, then please let me know. Okay? Now, I want you to read chapter 3 now, 1 John. Okay? 1 John chapter 3. Now, please read verse 24. Okay? Verse 24. Now, he who keep his commandments abide in him, and he in him. Alright? It seems that some people said, by keeping the commandments of God, confirms that a person has the Holy Spirit. And this is actually not what John was talking about. Alright? Now, rather he is saying, you know, if a person has the Spirit in his heart, the natural consequence is that he would surely, what? Abide by the commandments of God. Alright? So, you cannot use, you know, and how can I put it? The ability of a person to keep the commandments, yeah, to be the evidence of him having received the Holy Spirit. And that is not right. Okay? Now, when you talk about the receiving of the Spirit, yeah, I want you to read the second part, chapter 3, verse 24, the second part, it says, and by this we know that he abides in us. How do we know that the Spirit is in us? By the Spirit whom he has given us. How do we know that God is in us today? According to John, how do we know? The Spirit, isn't it? Yeah? Now, if you look at it very carefully, the phrase, the Spirit whom he has given us, and this is coincide wonderfully well with the description given in Acts of the Apostle. How God actually gave the Holy Spirit to the apostles, or to those who believe. Can you see now? Yeah? So, according to Acts of the Apostle, when they received the Spirit, what happened to them? They spoke in tongues. Okay? Now, one more example. I want you to read 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we read verse 12 and verse 13. Yeah? Now, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Again, we cannot say that if someone, yeah, who is capable of showing love, then we say that this guy has the Holy Spirit. Now, rather we should look at it the other way around, meaning a person who has the abiding presence of the Lord, meaning a person who has received the Spirit, yeah, the natural consequence is that he should be able to love. Okay, because from within the heart, yeah, the Spirit should overflow, and this is what Jesus has said in the Gospel of John, chapter 7 and chapter 4. Yeah, and Jesus said, the water in him, in the person, shall become what? A fountain of living water springing up unto eternal life. From within. Okay? Now, look at the second part, verse 13. Yeah? By this we know that we abide in him and he in us. Again, can you see two stages here? Okay? You abide in him, we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Can you see now? Yeah? Is that clear? Two parts. Being in him is not the same as him being in us. Okay? And we in Jesus is not the same as Jesus being in us. They are two separate occurrences. And this is only made possible, you find that these two occurrences are only made possible because we have been given the Spirit. Is that okay? Now, I want you to get this right first, yeah? Get this clear before I go on. Alright, now, one other thing I want to bring to your attention is this, yeah? Now, you find that, you know, he in us, if you read verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, is not something that we do not know. is like what we said, is a tangible experience. That's something that you would know when the Spirit comes upon you. That's why the Bible says you will know. It's not something quiet, it's not just conceptual. It's not just like something that I know from the Scriptures. Yeah, it is more than just of the mind. It is something experiential. Yeah, tangible experience. That's why the Bible says you will know. Yeah, how did you know, or how did the apostle know? Because they all spoke in tongues. Is that okay? All right. Now, any further question on this? There are always two parts, yeah? We in Jesus and Jesus in us. Obviously, there are some other verses that we need to explain. I want you to read John chapter 6. Now, someone may argue in this way. All right, I want you to read verse 56. John 6, 56. Yeah? Now, verse 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Now, some people might argue, does it mean that after you have partaken of the Holy Spirit, after you have partaken of the Holy Communion, then you have the Spirit? Now, when you compare this verse with the three verses that I have given to you, there is no mention that you will know. Can you see now? Can you see the difference? Yeah? Now, here, the most accurate descriptions about this, you know, abiding presence of God in us is to confirm to us that after we have partaken of the Holy Communion, we are very close to God, because in us is the life of Christ. That is the meaning of being in God and God in us. Right? Now, when you look at that statement, God in us and we in God, in terms of receiving the Spirit, the Bible always says, you will know. Is that clear? And also, John emphasizes that because of the Spirit that God has given to you. So, this is how you analyze the Scriptures, okay? Analyze it very clearly, bit by bit. Then you'll see the whole picture of it very clearly. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do now is, yeah, like what I said, you know, the truth is the Spirit, and the Spirit is the truth. Alright? Now, so the fact that we received the Spirit because we first, what? Heard the truth. Okay? Now, I want you to read a few verses, important verses. We read Galatians chapter 3. Please turn to Galatians chapter 3. We read verse 3. We read verse 2. And then we read verse 5. Yeah? Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 5. Now, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay. Now, verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, we know that the hearing of faith here refers to what? What does it refer to? Where do you get the faith from? Okay, we turn to Romans, yeah? Chapter 10. Please turn to Romans, chapter 10. Believe in Jesus. Yes, believe in Jesus, but I think there's more to it. Okay, we read chapter 10. Verse... Matthew, what are you saying?
From hearing.
From hearing, yes. It's in verse 17, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you hear, what what, okay, when you listen, what are you listening to? The Word of God, isn't it? So, meaning, you must listen to the complete gospel in our context today, then you are given the Holy Spirit. Right? So, if you listen to the truth, then you shall be given the Holy Spirit. The truth is the Spirit is the truth, okay? They are inseparable. Right? Now, so, you find that today we are able to be ushered into the church precisely because we have come to know the truth. And the fact that we can receive the Spirit also because we have heard the truth. So the truth is the foundation. Is that also? Alright? Now, likewise, the danger is this, okay? The danger is this. You know, when a person shifts away from the truth, meaning he departs from the truth, then he is in danger of what? Losing the Spirit and losing the guidance of the Spirit. Because the Spirit cannot afford to abide with someone who chooses not to abide by the truth. Is that clear? Okay. Now, I want you to read a verse, yeah? Please turn to chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We read verse 24 to verse 26. Yeah? I think this passage has been read before many times already. Never mind, we're going to read it again. Now, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, verse 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Now, I want you to pay very careful attention to verse 26 to look at the work of Satan here. Okay? And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now, you find that Satan can actually take us captive. Now, under what circumstances we can be taken captive by Satan? When we deviate from the truth. Okay? Now, you find that the deviation of the truth here does not necessarily mean that someone would rise up and preach something very different. Now, when you know the truth, you know that this is true, this is correct, and this is right, and yet you willfully what? Turn away, turn your back on it and not to do it, then you give ground to what? Satan to work. Now, if you look at the example of Judas, did he preach heresy? Did he preach heresy? Judas. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says Satan can just put the idea of betraying Jesus into his mind. Why? Because he knew the truth. And yet he willfully, what? Went against it. That's the problem. And so the mind was taken over by Satan. And eventually, what does the Bible say? Satan entered into the heart. That's it. Sayonara. Bye-bye. That's the end of the story. There's no return. That's why if today you know the truth, you know that this is the thing that you shouldn't be doing, like Judas. He knows that he shouldn't always stretch his hand into the coffer and pocket the money from the coffer. What happened? He gave ground to Satan to work. To an extent that what happened? Satan entered into him. Okay? Now, that's why when we talk about defending the truth, make sure that we are in the truth, we keep ourselves in the truth first. I want to give you an example now. We turn to Hosea. Now, please turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 4. Hosea, chapter 4. We read verse 12, and then we read chapter 5, verse 4. Okay, we first read chapter 4, verse 12. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff inform them. Now, again, yeah? Look at this part of the scriptures very carefully. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray. You know, these people, they stray away you know, to worship idol, and in the process they commit sexual immorality. Now, the Bible says because they were driven by what? The spirit. You know that the act of harlotry is a grave sin, and somehow here we find that it is the spirit who drove them what? To commit this act of harlotry. Why? Because they have given ground to Satan to work. That is the problem. That is the problem. Yeah? That's why you find that when you read chapter 5, verse 4, they could not come back. They do not direct their deeds towards turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. So, once a person's mind is taken over by the wicked one, that is the end of the story. Bye-bye. Sayonara. You cannot come back anymore. Yeah? That's why we have to be very careful. Sometimes you find that, yeah, even in the church, when you see that someone is sinning, yeah, and it seems that the person cannot stop, it's not that he doesn't want to stop, it's just that he cannot stop. Why? Because it's driven by a kind of spirit behind. It's true. It's true. Right? So we are the chosen people of God, so we have to be extremely careful. That's why we need to remind one another all the time. Okay? Today it can be my day of not obeying God, so you have to remind me. And tomorrow it can be your days of not obeying God. So someone else has to remind you. Okay? You have to stay alert. Otherwise you find that we shall become the what? The captives of Satan. Right? I tell you, it's very tricky. That's why no one can stand by himself or herself. That's why we need to come together as a church, as a community of God. But only then we can stand against this what? This sworn enemies of ours. Otherwise it's very difficult. We shall be defeated by him. Right? Now, so my point is, Satan, nowadays Satan is very smart, you know. You find that yeah, if he tried to possess a person, like, you know, cause the person to behave in a very abnormal manner, then the church will send worker to cast the demon out in the name of Jesus. Bang, gone. Right? Nowadays you see that the guy is so smart, though. He tried to control your mind. Okay? So outwardly, you know, if I have been controlled by Satan, if I have been controlled by Satan, you know, when you joke with me, I can also joke with you. Right? I'm normal, I behave normally. You eat chocolate, I also eat chocolate. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about you, don't worry. Sorry. I used the wrong example. I eat orange. If you eat orange, I also eat orange. Normal, okay? Nothing wrong. But in the mind, I cannot receive the truth. Yeah, I cannot respond to the truth very positively. Why? Because I've been taken captive by the evil one. Yes. This is what? 兄弟,你不要拍我,你拍我,我会发抖。 你不要害我吗? My rhythm is gone. Next time we're going to ban all cameras. So. Okay, we turn to John, yeah, to look at Judas, okay? We turn to John chapter. Chapter 13, sorry. Okay. Chapter 13. We read verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the hearts of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. When you look at the story here, from the point that this idea has been instilled, yeah, in his mind, you find that he behaved normally. He was like a normal human being. And the only thing is that his mind was controlled by Satan. And when you read the same chapter, yeah, the same chapter, Verse 27. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Even at that point in time, Jesus could not save him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, "Please do what you want." Right? Because Satan entered. That's it, finished. Okay. It's like step by step, you know. Step by step. That's why, you know, we need to keep ourselves in such a way that we don't give ground. We need to respond to the word very positively and very quickly. You know? Otherwise, what happened? Satan will enter into us. Yeah? And eventually what? He will take full control over us. And that, I said, by that time it will be too late for anyone to save. You see, Jesus even, just like, you know, saying that, okay, that is the end. It's beyond return now. Okay? He has gone too far. There's no return. Okay? Alright, now, coming back to the issues on the truth, yeah? Now, like what we said before, the Spirit is the truth is the Spirit, and we need to treasure the truth that we have received. Right? This, you know, to be faithful to the Word of God, we need to show this respect to the Word of God. We treasure it. Okay? Because this pattern has never been given to any church apart from the TJC, the True Jesus Church. And that's why we need to defend it. Defend it. Right? We need to believe in it. We need to trust in it. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some example in the scriptures, yeah, to allow you to understand how severe it can be, you know, when we willfully what? Try to wander away from the right path, from the truth. Okay, now I want you to first look at, Timothy, 1 Timothy. Please turn to 1 Timothy. Chapter 4. Okay, now 1 Timothy chapter 4, we read verse 1. And you find that Paul, you know, sends the urgency of the matter, yeah, said to Timothy that what he is going to say to him right now actually is the what? Express will of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's why he said, now the Spirit expressly or explicitly, yeah, says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirit and doctrine of demons. Now, how is it that a person can depart from the faith? Because instead of giving heed, what, to God, to the Holy Spirit, yeah, we find that these people actually give heed to deceiving spirit. Now, we ask ourselves this question. How can that be? Because evil spirit cannot be seen with our naked eyes. Can you see evil spirit? Matthew, can you see a ghost?
No.
You cannot see?
No.
Cannot. I also cannot. So how, if you cannot see a ghost, I cannot see a ghost. How is it that someone can pay attention to deceiving spirit?
Behavior?
How?
If they talk about falsehoods.
You're right. You see, if you're right. Okay. Now, today can you see God?
No.
I cannot see God. You cannot see God. But how is it that we are paying attention to God? Because of the Word. Because we are paying attention to the Word. Is that not so? So when you pay attention to the Word, you are actually paying attention to God. Now, that's why here it says, these people, they gave heed to deceiving spirit and doctrine of demons. That's the problem. And it was the doctrine of demons that led them away from God and led them to the deceiving spirit. Just like today, we hear the word, and the word of God, the truth, lead us to God. Now, today we come to know God because of what we have heard. Is that not true? There are two ways to know God. First is through the scriptures, the word of God. The second is through our experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. Then we come to know God. Yeah? Okay? Now, so you can see the danger of what? Drifting away from what? The Word of God. Alright? Now, by so doing, we actually what? We are giving heed to the deceiving spirit. It's like we are saying we are playing with fire. We are in grave danger of losing our soul. Right. So before we can talk about defending the faith, saving others, yeah, we need to make sure that we honor the word. You know, the word that we have received. I tell you, sometimes it's how can I put it? You know, the mind is very strange thing, you know. Sometimes you just cannot describe it. Right? It can play tricks on you. And you still think that, you know, what you are believing in is correct. Even though the whole world tells you that you are wrong, you still believe that, no problem, I'm the only one who is correct. Why? Because your mind is playing tricks on you. How is it that your mind is playing tricks on you? Because you have been deceived. Why? Because you wander away from the right path. Hey. That is the danger. Okay, now I want you to look at another example given. We turn to this First John, yeah? Okay, we look at First John. Chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Now we read verse 18 and verse 19.
Can someone read for me? I'm tired.
Adrian, so Andy, you want to read?
Sure. Chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even how many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. For they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us.
Now, we find that, yeah, you know, I think the idea we have already talked about before, you know, some people say that, yeah, that the idea is that, you know, God being divine, you know, holy and pure, you know, to say that God has come in the flesh is like against the very basic nature of God. Logically speaking, it sounds very, very good. Right? Divine and something corrupt. How can they be put together? Right? To them, the flesh is wicked. Right? How can a perfect God be trapped in the flesh? That's why they deny that Christ has come in the flesh. Yeah? And what did John said? These are antichrist. I like your pronunciation. Antichrist. Antichrist. Okay. Sorry. So everyone is wake up now. Okay. Alright. So you know what happened? So these people, yeah? They have adopted the ideas and therefore they have gone out from the community. Yeah, physically speaking, they might be present, but in the spirit and in the truth, they are out. Right? Okay, now, we read on, yeah? We read on. If you read verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Right? Now, when John uses the word liar, it means that the truth is not in him. The truth is not in the person. Okay, now, if you read, for example, chapter 2, if you look at verse 4, right? Now, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandment is a liar and the truth is not in him. You know, in the context of John, when a person is termed as a liar, it means that he has lost the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You get what I'm saying? It's not there anymore. Is that clear?
Yeah.
When a person departs from the truth and embraces another doctrine, the Bible says he is a liar. The truth is not in him. Definitely. Okay, now we put this this Antichrist aside. Forget about these people. Now what we want to know now is what has driven them to go against the very belief that they once accepted so much. Okay? Now, I want you to read chapter 4. Please turn to chapter 4.
First John.
Yes, First John. I'm still in First John. Now, verse 3. Who wants to read?
Michael.
Oh, Michael. Okay. I'll listen to you, Matthew. Okay, Michael.
Chapter 4, verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world.
So you find that John actually knew what was working behind, you know, this Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. You know, someone could not have just, you know, gone against the truth in this manner. Because if Christ has not come to save, if He has not come to this world to die on the cross, then salvation can never be accomplished. Right? Now, to say that Christ has not come in the flesh is against the very essence of the salvation plan of God. It's attacking the core of Christianity. And here, according to John, that is the work of the spirit of Antichrist. Right? Can you see now? It's not just the work of this people. It's the work of the what? Of Satan. So if I can put it this way, the key instigator is Satan. Okay? Now, I think we have already explained chapter 4 verse 6, right? Now, so we need to understand this very, very clearly. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the church will enter into a phase where, you know, falsehood would surround the church, would attack the church. Yeah? And you find that this is something unprecedented. It has never happened before. Okay? Now, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 16. Please turn to Revelation chapter 16. Now we can read from verse 12 to verse 16, yeah? Verse 12 to verse 16. Now I just talk about it, yeah? Now, here is the sixth bowl. It talks about how the river of Euphrates was dried up. Now, you know, in the ancient day, the river is like a natural defense, isn't it? Now it's dried up. So all this enemy can just cross over the river and attack the land of God. Now, can someone tell me, you know, the promised land? The promised land is protected by two rivers. What are the two rivers? He's historian.
River Jordan?
Euphrates.
Tigris.
Is this the same as River Egypt? No.
No.
I know it's Egypt and Euphrates. Is it also? A historian, help me.
Euphrates. Yes, and River of Egypt.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the north is in the southeast of the Muslim.
Hallelujah. You know your stuff, huh? Very well. Hey, teach me how you remember facts like this. Draw. Okay. Okay, we turn to Genesis. Chapter 15. This is the promise given by God to Abraham, yeah? Concerning the size of the promised land. Now we look at verse 18. Okay, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying to your descendant, I have given this land from the river of Egypt and to the great river, the river Euphrates. So basically it's like being surrounded by two rivers. Two rivers, is it? Now you know that when the people of God sinned, what happened? The land shrank in size. Because the foreign nation came to attack and conquer and occupy the land. Now, you know that when David came into power, a historian. When when David came into power, he was the one who stretched the land back to its normal size, isn't it? He's the only king. Who else did that?
Solomon. And in a tight division, the Jeroboam II, and also the king Yasariah, that's Uzziah, yeah, also recovered the land in the south, and Jeroboam II recovered the one in the north.
I have no idea. You're a historian, no? Okay, come back. Chapter 16. Revelation 16, okay. Now you find that the dragon, the beast, the false prophet are mentioned in combination. So for the first time. You can never see this kind of description being given in the book of Revelation. This is the only place. You see the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, they all come together. And three evil spirits. One from each of their mouth. Coming out. Okay? Now, here to fight against what? The people of God. Now, how do we know? Because verse 15 tells us so. So, what must we do? We must keep our garments. Yeah, lest we walk naked and see our shame. So it's a spiritual battle. It's not like what the Armageddon. Not what was that? What, the movie Armageddon. Who is that?
Who? Asteroid.
Yeah, like space. Yeah, not space. Aliens.
Armageddon.
Right.
I never watched it.
I don't know.
But I saw the advert. Wow, what Armageddon? So many heads there. Oh, stars. Right? No, but it's not. Surely this Armageddon is not the one, you know, you people have seen in on movies or whatever. It's not the same. This one is talking about a spiritual battle. Now, you can see the intensity of the fight, okay? So all this will gather together to fight. In the what? In the promised land. Okay? So I think this gives us a sense or an urgency to defend the faith of God all the more. Because it will come, it will happen. We can no longer take it for granted. Yeah? Now to do that, that's why not only we must always enter into prayers. Okay? We must do our best to know the Word of God. Not to show, rather to protect ourselves and to protect what? Our brothers and sisters. This is our duty. But it will happen. It will happen. According to Revelation. And also according to Matthew chapter 24, it will surely happen. Okay? Who is there to defend? You and I. We have to do our part. Right? Now I believe in this. If we don't do anything about it right now, God can raise up his own people to defend for himself. For the truth. Right? Now you find that now in a certain section of the church, God has raised up different people who has nothing to do with the true Jesus church, whose background is not even related to the true Jesus church. It's like now they are what? Leading the church, guiding the church forward. For example, how to keep the Sabbath. Yeah? How the interaction with one another should be done in the church. Right? Now just like in Isaiah, God said, He will what? Raise foreigners from afar to build up the ruins of the walls in Jerusalem. Yeah, God can do that. So if you don't do our part, He will raise up different people to do it. Right? So that's why you can see the urgency to defend the faith. Okay, so whenever you go, if you go to Africa to teach, you have to make sure that you are going to impart the 100% complete truth. There must be no compromise. Right? Not even a trace of compromise should be in your message. Must be what? Completely what? Coincide with what the scripture says. Right? You cannot bring in your own ideas or whatever. Otherwise, not only you cannot build up the church, that you destroy the church, then it's better for you not to go. Right? simple as that. Yes.
Is there significance of the frogs? Look like frogs, yeah.
Unclean animals. Unclean spirit. From corruptions. Okay? Any question? Question? Yes.
You say that the spirit itself is actually the truth, right?
So if the Holy Spirit is the truth, the truth is the Holy Spirit, yes.
Yeah. And if you cannot receive Holy Spirit, it means that you, because you can, there is no truth in you.
No.
No.
No. Okay. You need to understand this, okay? You need to understand this, right? When you are baptized into Christ, you are separated from the world already, because now you are in Christ Jesus, you put on Christ. There are only two kingdoms in this world. One is the world, yeah, the sinful kingdom. The other one is the kingdom of God. Now, the Bible says, when you are in Christ Jesus, you have the wisdom of God. Okay, I want to show you a verse, just to confirm that. You turn to Colossians chapter 2. We read verse 2. Colossians chapter 2 verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, be knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the fullness of full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Now, read verse 3. In what? In whom? In whom refers to who? Jesus, isn't it? In Jesus are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Now, so insofar as you are in Jesus, then you are given the mind and the capacity to know the words, because you are in Christ Jesus. Okay? This is what Paul says. In Him.
Yeah.
Are you not in Christ? You are. You have been baptized.
So are you trying to say that, that the people in TJC, if they haven't receive the Holy Spirit, they actually don't get the truth.
No, I didn't say that. That's why I said you didn't get my point. I said insofar as you are baptized into Christ, then you are given the ability and the capacity to know the Word of God, according to Paul.
Okay.
Chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3. That's why the condition is you must be in Jesus. Is that okay?
Yeah. So even the member in TJC, they haven't received.
They can still understand the truth. Yes. You remember the example I gave you the other day? You know? What is it? You know the fruit of the Spirit, yeah? The fruit of the Spirit? Okay. How many characteristics are there? Nine, isn't it? Depend on which version you are using. If you are using the efficient version, there are only three. Is it also? If you are using the Galatian version, then there are nine. Right? Now, so one of them is what? Joy. Yeah? Okay, we can turn to that verse again. We turn to Acts of the Apostle. Chapter 8, yeah? Chapter 8. Now, we read Michael, can you read verse 5 and verse 5 all the way to verse 8?
Okay. Verse 5. The Philip went down to the city of the Samaria and preached Christ to them. Verse 6, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. 7, for unclean spirit, crying out a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city.
Now, had they received the Holy Spirit already?
No.
Okay, if you read verse 15, yeah? Now, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit? And verse 16, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. None of them. None of them. Okay? And yet the city and what? Experienced great joy. Right? Now, that's why the important thing is, yeah, you cannot use human reasoning to measure the Spirit of God. Okay? You can't do that. You cannot say if the Spirit is not in them, how can they express joy? Yeah? But you find that because they were in Christ Jesus after baptism, surely they are within what? Within the protections of God, and they could experience and enjoy what? All the blessing that God is given, is to be given to those who believe in Him. Is that also?
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is a very good example. None of them. That's why I've been thinking about this. This cannot be a coincidence. Because I believe God knows the future. That's why, you know, this part of the scriptures or the incident here is devised by God in such a way that it can help us defend our faith. Right? That's why I said the Bible is like you can see that is they are what you call that built-in mechanism, defense mechanism. Okay, no matter how you look at it, there's an answer to it.
But the people here, they haven't been baptized.
They're baptized already. When you read the verse 12, they're baptized. They are baptized, but they don't have the Holy Spirit.
So according to what you say, that if one person hasn't been baptized, then he cannot.
No, you see the thing is, yeah. Sometimes even when you look at truth seekers, when they receive the word of God, even they were not baptized, they were filled with joy. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they don't have to be in Christ first. They can still.
No. That's what I said, yeah. We have to make it clear in this way, yeah? Make it clear in this way. Because this is the what? The work of the Word of God. Yeah? That caused them to be very joyful. Right? Any other question? Is that clear? Clear. So, do you think they have the Holy Spirit after baptism? Do you think they received the Spirit at the point of baptism? Do you think they received?
No.
None of them. None.
Yeah.
Right? If we say that, you know, anyone who received water baptism, received the Spirit at the point of baptism, then we make God a liar. We make God a liar. Definitely. Okay. Any other question? You're free to ask. Oh, it's time. One final question. Yes.
How do you explain to true seekers who receive the Holy Spirit?
Sorry?
How do you explain to a true seeker who has already received the Holy Spirit?
Who has already received the Holy Spirit in the true Jesus Church?
In the true Church.
Okay.
That the concept we just talked about, that we in Jesus and Jesus in us.
Yes. Alright. Now, you find that, yeah? You know when we talk about rebirth, yeah, there are two parts. One is water baptism, the other one is the baptism of the Spirit. Yeah, you need to have both to make the rebirth complete. So you know what I'm saying? Either one can come first. You know, sometimes the receiving of the Spirit comes first, and sometimes it comes later, after a person has been baptized. And there are examples in the Bible which confirm that. Like the case of Cornelius. They received the Spirit first. When they were still listening, they received the Spirit. And then later on, they were baptized. Now, as far as the case of Samaria is concerned, they were baptized first. And then, they received the Holy Spirit. So, either one can come first, but we need to have both. Any other question? Rocky. What do you mean? No question.
If you look back at Acts
8:5-8,
can you say... 8:5. Yeah, sorry, chapter 8, verse 5-8. Where did it say they were baptized?
No, they're baptized in verse 12.
Oh, okay, later on.
No, I don't have a list, to be honest. I don't have a list. That's why I said some of the key verses you need to remember. You know, especially the verses or passages concerning the doctrine, you need to know them very well. Like baptism, all this, you need to know them.
Can we ask you to list the key verses?
I already told you, man, my brother, what are you talking about?
Very fast.
Okay, I speak too fast.
Give you some example. I'm trying to write it down, but it's all in your head, right?
You can copy it from our sister. It's all there.
Oh, yeah. Recording.
This one give me heart attack. Okay. Any other question? Let me see. Okay. Any question? No question? So we finished all my lesson and see all my lessons are finished. Hallelujah. Okay? Let's pray.